Jonah and Hosea around 740 B.C. and Micah 735 B.C., Nahum 660, and then Zephaniah 630, and now we're at Habakkuk, which is around 600 B.C., and then that takes us to Daniel, which covers about 60 years from 600 to about 540 B.C. Then we'll do Lamentations, Obadiah, Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi. It's been a fun journey already. Last week, we saw him pondering God's holiness, God's power. And here at the end of the book, now Habakkuk is expressing his own trials and how he's responding to them. It's, as it says there in verse 1, it's a prayer of Habakkuk. And we can learn a lot from his prayer in the midst of trials, just as Habakkuk found himself and Israel about to face the Babylonian captivity. He expresses this prayer unto the Lord. So we'll have a look at chapter 3 of Habakkuk tonight, as soon as I can find it in my Bible. Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk. There it is. Okay. It happens to me every time. All right, chapter 3 of Habakkuk. A prayer of Habakkuk, the prophet, upon Shigionoth. O Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make known in wrath, remember mercy. God came from Teman and the Holy One from Mount Paran, Selah. His glory covered the heavens and the earth was full of his praise. And his brightness was as the light. He had horns coming out of his hand and there was the hiding of his power. Before him went the pestilence, and burning coals went forth at his feet. He stood and measured the earth. He beheld and drove asunder the nations, and the everlasting mountains were scattered. The perpetual hills did bow. His ways are everlasting. I saw the tents of Cushan in affliction, and the curtains of the land of Midian did tremble. Was the Lord displeased against the rivers? Was thine anger against the rivers? Was thy wrath against the sea, that thou didst ride upon thine horses and thy chariots of salvation? Thy bow was made quite naked, according to the oaths of the tribes, even thy words, Selah. Thou didst cleave the earth with rivers. The mountains saw thee, and they trembled. The overflowing of the water passed by. The deep uttered his voice and lifted up his hands on high. The sun and moon stood still in their habitation. At the light of thine arrows they went, and at the shining of thy glittering spear. Thou didst march through the land in indignation. Thou didst thresh the heathen in anger. Thou wentest forth from the salvation of thy people, even for salvation with thine anointed. Thou woundest the head out of the house of the wicked by discovering the fountain unto the neck, Selah. Thou didst drive through with his staves the head of his villages. They came out as a whirlwind to scatter me. Their rejoicing was as to devour the poor secretly. Thou didst walk through the sea with thine horses through the heap of great waters. When I heard, my belly trembled, my lips quivered at the voice. Rottenness entered into my bones, and I trembled in myself, that I might rest in the day of trouble. When he cometh up unto the people, he will invade them with his troops. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the fields shall yield no meat. The flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like hinds' feet, and he will make me to walk upon mine high places, to the chief singer on my stringed instruments. Yet I will rejoice. Let's pray. Lord, I pray now that the word would speak to our hearts, and Lord, in its power, it would work miracles in our hearts. We commit the service to you. Pray you'll be glorified in it, that you would guide every aspect of it. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. And so in the midst of his prayer, Habakkuk is, as you can see, exalting God and his power. We see there in the first couple of verses, he talks about God's plans for his creation, God's character. And then in verse 3, it says the earth was full of his praise. And so he is exalting the Lord. Verse 6, he said that God's ways are everlasting. And then in verse 10, he says, the mountains saw thee and they trembled. talking about God's amazing power, that God is our creator. Verse 12, he said that he threshes the heathen in anger, and that he went forth for the salvation of his people. In other words, God is interested in the affairs of his people. He cares about man and every aspect of man. He's not a passive God. He's active in our lives. He is sovereign. And after exalting the Lord and his power and who he is, he then stops and is honest about how terribly, if you will, from an earthly point of view, things are going in his own life. And that's verse 17. And what we find is, you know, circumstances don't always go the way we want them to, do they? As a matter of fact, they typically don't. And given a choice, would we choose for things to go as bad as they're going in verse 17? Of course not. But that's because we are self-centered. So notice he says there in verse 17, although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, the field shall yield no meat, and the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. In other words, basically everything's going wrong. Every aspect of life in his situation is not going well. And when this happens, and it does sometimes, what should be our response? Should it be to get angry at God? Should it be to get frustrated? Should it be to throw up our hands and quit? Obviously not. Job was faced with a similar situation, was he not? In chapter 2, let's turn there, Job chapter 2, verse 10, where everything was basically going wrong for Job. And let's see what Job's response was here in Job chapter 2, verse 10. So remember that by this point, he'd lost his living and he had lost his children. And now he has lost his health. And that's when his wife came to him in verse 9 of Job chapter 2 and said, "Dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die." But he said unto her, "Thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? In all this did not Job sin with his lips." And it really can't go worse than it went for Job. And yet he did not sin with his lips. He did not get angry with God. He did not accuse God. This is an act of our will. When we are in the midst of trials, to say, how am I going to respond? Am I going to respond by getting angry with God, or am I going to respond by, as we see here, praising God? And that's our choice, isn't it? The trials are going to come. God's promised them. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, the Bible says in Psalms 34:19. So it's an act of our will, as it says here in verse 18 of our passage, to say, yet I will. Yet I will respond the way I should when the trials come. David had a similar situation. If you go to Psalm 13, David went through a lot of trials before he became king, being chased by Saul and all that that entailed. And in the midst of all that, he wrote Psalm 13 and asked these questions. How long, verse 1, wilt thou forget me? How long wilt thou hide thy face? Verse 2, how long should I take counsel? How long shall mine enemy be exalted? Consider and hear me. Verse 4, lest mine enemy say I prevailed against him. But look what he says in verse 5. But I've trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice. So the same as Job. He says, I'm still going to rejoice. I'm still going to trust God. Things are going really bad, just as they are for Habakkuk. But he says, yet I will rejoice. It's a choice to rejoice. Amen. And we need to understand that. We can moan and complain, or we can rejoice. Israel, typically their response was to moan and complain. when these things happen. I'll give you an example. Numbers 11:1. Turn there quickly. And often Christians do respond this way, but that's not God's will. This is just one example. Israel angered God many times with their complaining, but just notice Numbers 11:1. It says, "And when the people complained, it displeased the Lord." That's pretty clear. It displeased the Lord when the people complained. Job said, "The Lord gave and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." So those are two opposite ends of the spectrum on how we can respond when the trials do come, and they will. Paul, in the midst of prison, wrote Philippians 4:4, "Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice," while his feet are in the stocks. He wrote those words. He told us to glory in our tribulations. So it comes down to us making a choice. "Yet I will rejoice in the Lord." No matter how bad things get, and sometimes they can get really bad, our eternal life never goes away. Amen? Our home in heaven never goes away. The presence of the Lord never goes away. Jesus said, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." The indwelling Holy Spirit never goes away. No matter how bad the circumstances get, some things remain constant, and those are the things of the Lord. Solomon said, "I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever." In Ecclesiastes 3, he said, "Nothing can be put to it or anything taken from it, and God doeth it that men should fear before him." And God has given us salvation that can't be taken away. And that's what he says here. Notice Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 18. "Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation." The God of my salvation. So this is not written to, or this isn't to help, to be a helper and encouragement to a lost person. They're going to have trials too. But they can't rejoice in the Lord and the God of their salvation because they don't have his salvation. And they can't look ahead and see that heaven's their home because heaven isn't their home. Salvation has to come first. And he says, "I will joy in the God of my salvation. I will rejoice in the Lord." He made a choice. He said things are bad. Things are really bad, actually. And things are only going to get worse for Israel because the captivity is extremely close. Like I said, this is our last book. Next comes Daniel, when the captivity actually takes place. And then in verse 19, what does he say? "The Lord God is my strength." You see, that's why we often struggle to rejoice when we are in the midst of trials, is because we're depending on our own strength rather than God's strength. If you go to 2 Corinthians 12, we'll see where the Apostle Paul had to learn this lesson the hard way, because he had a trial which he considered to be quite major. We don't know what it was. We just know that God calls it a thorn. And he asked God to take it away. And verse 9, he said unto me, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." This is God speaking. And then Paul says, "Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." The power of Christ. We all need the power of Christ. And that's what Habakkuk is saying. Things are bad, but I'm going to rejoice in the Lord. I'm going to join the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. My strength doesn't come from within. My strength comes from God. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And even Job, in the midst of his suffering, he said, "Though he slay me," Job 13:15, "yet will I trust in him." And then we find this beautiful promise that if we will choose to respond to trials the way God wants us to respond to trials. Remember, we looked at James chapter 1 this morning. "Count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. Rejoice yet I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. If we will choose to do that, then God gives us a promise. Verse 19, He will make my feet like hinds' feet. He will make me to walk upon mine high places. And we can claim this promise if we will choose to rejoice in the Lord and rely on His strength in the midst of terrible trials. This is what God promises us, that we can actually walk above our circumstances. Because our circumstances are unpredictable and often not what we want. But we can walk above them. And that's what He's telling us here. Isaiah 40:31, turn there, most of you know it by heart. But Isaiah, God through Isaiah made a similar promise here in Isaiah 40:31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. So through Habakkuk, he promises to make our feet like hinds' feet. And through Isaiah, he says that we will mount up with wings as eagles. I like the sound of both of those. I'm sure you do too. Make our feet like hinds' feet, and we'll be given wings as eagles. But this is only if we choose to say, yet I will rejoice in the Lord, in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. If that is our choice in the midst of trials, God says, yes, you can walk above. You can be given like wings of eagles. You can be given feet like hinds' feet and live a life above the terrible circumstances that you face. If you're still in Isaiah, look at 41:10. It's the next chapter over where he says, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. These are God's promises to us if we will rely on Him in the midst of trials and make a conscious decision to say, like Habakkuk says, like David said, like Job said, yet I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. I'm going to trust God who is for strength through this. And I'm going to keep rejoicing through this, whatever it might be. He will make my feet like hinds' feet. And He will make me to walk upon mine high places. We can picture the hind with their amazing sure-footedness walking in the high places. That'll be us if we will make the conscious decision, no matter how bad it gets. And it got bad. Everything was failing. The fig tree was failing. The vines were failing. The labor of the olive was failing. The fields were failing. The flocks were failing. Everything was failing. And right there was a golden opportunity to say, woe is me. Life isn't fair. Why is God treating me this way? Instead, he said, yet I will rejoice. I will join the God of my salvation. And the Lord God is my strength. And God's going to help me to walk above my circumstances. That should be every one of our goal. That we can walk above because we're children of the King. We're going to heaven. So it goes against the grain of our fallen man. Amen. To do this. That's why I keep saying it's the yet, it's the but. It's a conscious decision to say my circumstances are not what I want them to be. There's a lot of hurt. There's a lot of pain. Yet I will rejoice. Yet I will join the God of my salvation, and He is my strength. And the result? Hinds' feet. Walking upon my high places. So many Christians don't get to enjoy this because they won't joy in the God of their salvation in the midst of their trials. So let us do it. The Bible says we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Amen. Yet I will rejoice. Let's pray. Lord, I want to thank You for speaking.